Good evening. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the Luke's Gospel, to chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Last evening, we were in Luke chapter 16, and tonight we'd like to look at chapter 15. And right at the end of chapter 14, I'd like to begin with the very last few words of chapter 14. We read there in chapter 14, in verse 35, the last sentence of that verse, it says, "He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear." I look around the room tonight, and I see that every one of you has ears. In fact, every one of you have two ears. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a message for you. God has a message for you that He desires you to hear. And the wonderful thing is in chapter 15, verse 1, we read this. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Him to hear Him. The Him is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. And all those, when the Lord Jesus became a man and dwelt here, and for 3 years public ministry, the Lord Jesus served His God as a man here in this scene. And for 3.5 years, He walked in this scene serving His God. And those gathered around Him, and the wonderful thing that we read here is the tax collectors and the sinners gathered to Him to hear what He would have to say to them. Now, it says in verse 2 that the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Well, I for one am glad tonight that I can tell you that Christ receives sinners. Amen? Christ receives sinners, and today He still is receiving sinners to come to Himself. And what a wonderful thing. Brothers and sisters, men and women here tonight, boys and girls, young people, whoever you might be, we need to tell you tonight that Christ still receives sinners. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world that He sent His only, that He gave His only begotten, His only unique Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why is it that God had to send His beloved Son? It's because the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth must surely die. The Bible says that the penalty for sin is death. And so when we put these verses together, we, as those, the Bible says, all have sinned. And so as sinners tonight, we have to say we need a Savior. And thanks be unto God that He has given His beloved Son to be the Savior of the world. And He can be your Savior tonight. You might not have had a Savior when you walked in this door tonight. But when you walk out of those doors tonight, when you leave and get up out of your seat, and you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, dear friend, tonight you can know what it is that Christ receives sinners. What a wonderful thing. We go on and we read that the Lord Jesus, when He knew their heart, and He heard what they said, and it says here that He begins in verse 3. So He spoke this parable to them. Now, I want you to understand that this parable, it says. Sometimes we say it's three parables. Well, it's three stories, but I would like to suggest that it's one parable with three parts. Because this parable, this one parable, as it says here, it displays the love of God. This one parable displays the love of the Lord Jesus for you tonight. This parable displays how the Holy Spirit is searching your heart tonight and using the light of the Word of God to speak to your heart tonight. This parable shows us how a loving father is waiting for you, that wandering child, to come home to himself. This parable is about the grace of God. This parable is about the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and how three in one they are working to bring you home tonight. This parable that we want to look at, first of all, begins with the Lord Jesus Christ, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd. And notice this, as he began to speak this parable to them, we read here that as he began to speak this parable, that he says, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then he says this, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now when we look at this, as we look at this first parable, or first story, and we see it here as it's laid out for us, we're reminded of the sheep. We want to look for a moment at the sheep. It says that there's a sheep, and it says that this man had 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray. And it reminds us, dear friends, tonight, that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Isaiah 53 will remind us that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We, everyone, have turned to our own way. That means that we have done our own thing. That means that when God's Word tells us that we are sinners, we say, well, no, 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 and we go do our own thing. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned our back upon God, and we want to say, I want to live my life my way. And if you're here tonight and you've never surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are still on a path of waywardness. You are still on a path of rejecting the Savior. You are still on a path heading the wrong direction. And what the Bible says is that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. But the Bible also reminds us that think of a little lamb. Think of a little lamb going out. Think of that sheep as it would go out and wander off. That sheep would be in danger. That sheep would be in danger. The Bible says it could be in danger of a lion. It could be in danger of wolves. It could be in danger of circumstances all around it. And it needs the protection of the shepherd. But my Bible tells me that the devil, who is the enemy of your soul, the devil is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil desires your soul tonight. You know, one of the things the devil tells you, one of the things the devil, Satan, the enemy of God, the one who said, I want to be like the Most High God, the one who tried to usurp God's authority, and he was cast out of heaven, and Adam turned over. Adam was given dominion of the earth. And because of Adam's disobedience, the Bible says, because of the disobedience of one man, sin entered the world. And now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of that one man's disobedience. And it says that when Adam was given that dominion and he sinned, he turned over that dominion to Satan. And now Satan goes about like a roaring lion here in this scene with his demons and his fallen angels that fell with him. And he goes about, and dear friend, tonight I'm telling you that he goes about and he's seeking you tonight. He's telling you that there's no hurry. He's telling you there's no reason to get all excited. Someone asked me once, why do I get excited when I preach the gospel? I tell you, because I want to snatch him out of his hands. Because I don't want anybody to perish. Oh, dear friend, Jonathan Edwards says, if we could hang Christians over hell just for a little bit, we'd all have a different outlook. And I tell you, Satan wants to grab you tonight, and he wants to pull you away, and he doesn't want you to accept Christ as your Savior. But you've got a decision to make tonight. You have a decision to make. You have to decide tonight what you're going to do with Christ. What you're going to do with this man. At Calvary, they said, away with this man. We'll not have this man reign over us. But my Bible tells me that what you need to do tonight, you need to confess the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 10. And so tonight, Satan goes about like a roaring lion, and he doesn't want you to be saved. But Satan also goes about like an angel of light, and he wants to deceive you. He wants you to sit in that chair tonight, and he wants you to think that you're saved. He wants you to say, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're saved. Don't worry about it. You know you're saved. But the Bible says in several places that you need to be sure that you're in the faith. You need to know for certain that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. On one sure way that you can determine tonight in your own heart and your own life, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, let me ask you this question. Are you living in a way that displays that Jesus is Lord of your life? You see, it says here that he brought those sheep, and it says that he would leave the 99. And we've already said that we're straying. All we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible says not only are the sheep in danger, but it also says the sheep are lost. You know, when we think about this, a lost sheep, you know, it's nice to have GPS, isn't it? It's nice to have GPS. We're not supposed to get lost with GPS. Sometimes we still do. But you know, in a spiritual sense, the Word of God is God's GPS to guide us. But some of you aren't paying attention to the Word of God. Some of you neglect the Word of God. Some of us will say, you know what? I'm going to figure out a different way to get to heaven. But the Bible says we're lost. But the Bible also says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that great news? Sorry, I didn't hear you. Isn't that great news? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Wow, that's me. I was lost. I was lost and undone. And the Son of Man came to seek me and to save me. But he had to do it at an awful cost, dear friend. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, the one who's God manifested in the flesh, he came into this scene not to condemn the world, the Bible says, but that through him the world might be saved. Hallelujah! What a Savior! And when we think of this, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as that Savior of the world, it reminds us that he went to Calvary's cross, that at that awful price that he paid, oh, it's a free gift of salvation that's offered to all men. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not a work, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift, but it was a costly gift. Just because it's free doesn't mean it didn't cost at a great price. And it was the price of my beloved Savior. He hung on Calvary's cross. His blood was shed. God darkened the earth. And God judged the Lord Jesus Christ for my sin and for your sin. And he offers that salvation to you. And he says, any that come to him, I will in no wise cast out. He says, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Because the thing is, that little sheep that's gone astray, think about that sheep. You know, what can a little sheep do? A little sheep gets lost, and what can a sheep do? Bah! That's all a sheep can do. If a sheep sees a lion, what's it going to do? Bah! If a sheep sees a wolf, what's it going to do? Bah! The sheep is helpless. It's helpless. The sheep can't do anything. And the Bible says that while we were without strength, listen to that. Romans chapter 5. Listen to these words. The sheep was helpless. And the Bible says, verse 6, that when we were sinners, when we were still without strength, did you get that? When we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What a Savior. Dear friend, what a Savior for you tonight. That while we were still without strength, and not only, listen, not only were we without strength, but the Bible goes on to say, look down in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then later in verse 10, it says that we were enemies of God. Enemies. We are at enmity with God. Why? Because we're sinners, and God is holy, and God is righteous, and God's eyes are too holy to look upon sin, and God cannot let, we talked about heaven last night, God cannot let sin into heaven. God cannot let a sinner into heaven, into his holy presence. And so God had to judge sin, and he did it in the person of his Son. He judged my sin. He judged your sin. And he poured out that judgment upon his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom the Bible says he knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. And the Bible says he was without sin. And yet, a holy and a righteous God, in those 3 hours of darkness, we know the Lord Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours. We understand that. But the 3 hours, man dealt every blow. Satan dealt every blow that they could. Man and Satan joined forces against the Lord Jesus in those first 3 hours, and they dealt the Lord Jesus every blow they could. But listen, that wouldn't have saved us. That would not have saved us. That would not have redeemed my soul. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And so what the Bible tells us is that in those 3 hours of darkness, God shut man out, and God darkened the earth, and all of God's waves and all of God's billows toward my sin fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin. And the Bible says he was made sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. What a thought. And so this little sheep was helpless. The sheep was lost. This sheep was astray. Going back to Luke 15 then, it says one last thing, that this sheep was not only straying and lost and in danger and helpless, but this sheep was perishing. And don't you love those verses? For God so loved the world. All the children can say it with me, right? For God, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish. What a thought should not perish. What a word. What a horrible word. Perish. To be lost forever. To perish. And yet, we have this wonderful truth of God's word, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we accept what he has done on Calvary's cross, we shall not perish. But we have to make a decision tonight, because the Bible says now is the acceptable time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, ye who that have ears, let him hear. And tonight, we believe that the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, is speaking to you tonight. You need to respond. You need to respond tonight. I want to go on to the second story in this parable. The second story is a coin. And it tells us about a woman who has this coin. And this coin was probably in a 10-piece coin set. Probably a necklace or some type of garland that she would wear. And it was usually connected to a wedding. And it says that she lost one. And she lost the coin. And what does she do? She searches the house. And as she searches the house, she's looking and looking and looking. Why? What's so big about that coin? That coin was valuable. That coin was valuable to this woman. And so it says that she lit a lamp and she swept the house and she looked for this coin. And I believe tonight that this is a picture of what the Holy Spirit is doing right this very moment. That the Holy Spirit is lighting the lamp of God's word and speaking to your heart this evening. And he's sweeping. He desires to sweep your heart tonight. He's searching your heart this evening. Will you respond? Because when she finds that coin, the woman rejoices and she goes to her neighbors and she says, listen, I've got something to share with you. I've got something that means so much to me. And she holds up the coin tonight before the meeting. A young lady came up to Brother Chuck. Brother Chuck told her to tell me the story. And she was so exuberant. She came up to Brother Chuck. And she says, Brother Chuck, I got to tell you what happened last night. And she tells me the same story with the same excitement and joy in her heart. And she comes and she says that last night I've been working with a friend of mine. I've been working with a friend of mine and I've been on the phone with her. And she's not here, but she says, oh, my friend was talking about suicide, and she was talking about all sorts of things, and she was talking about being at the end of her ropes, and she says that I remember that these things are on YouTube, that these gospel messages are being broadcasted on YouTube. So last night, I told her to look at Brother Brian's message on YouTube, and she did. And hallelujah, and thanks be unto God, she accepted Christ as her Savior. And this young sister was running, and she said to Brother Chuck over here, and she said, Brother Chuck, rejoice with me. And how can we not rejoice? And listen, dear friend, tonight we want you to rejoice that you know the Savior. And not only that, but the Bible says in the first one, it says that there's rejoicing in heaven. And here we see that there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Can you be the cause tonight? Will you be the cause tonight to cause heaven to rejoice? Think of it. We will rejoice. You come down here tonight and accept Christ as your Savior. You say tonight, I'm done with the world. I want to come forward and I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. You come tonight, and I guarantee you there'll be people in this room that are rejoicing with you. But I guarantee you the angels in heaven will be rejoicing over one sinner that repents. But I tell you something else. The heart of the Father will be rejoicing the heart of the Lord Jesus will be rejoicing. Will you come tonight? Will you come tonight? The Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. The Spirit of God is turned on the light of God's word to you tonight. You understand you're a sinner. You know things aren't right with you and God. You have that guilt that's over you right now, and God wants to remove that guilt because God loves you so much. God wants to set you free. We've heard of that already this week, that if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, dear friend, salvation is a wonderful thing. God's grace, God's saving grace is a lovely thing. God's saving grace is a beautiful thing. And God has designed it so that it's so simple for each one of us. Now I want to move on very quickly. We have the third one, and I want to just briefly tell you about this third one. This is a prodigal. We call it the prodigal son. But really, I'm going to call it something else if you don't mind. I'm going to call it the loving father. The loving father. Because we see the father's heart. And you know what it says is this young man comes. This man, this father had two sons. And the one son comes up. And the one son says, Dad, I want everything that's coming to me when you die. But I want it now. I don't want to wait till you die. In other words, that son was saying to his father, you're as good as dead to me. I just want what's mine. Give it to me. And you know the father, it says that he divided up his inheritance, and it says in the portion that he gives it to them, to both sons. And then the one son that asked for the inheritance, the Bible says that he goes off into the far country. Now I want to make an application. We've talked about the saving grace of God. But I want to talk also tonight about the restoring grace of God. I want to tell you tonight that there might be young people or older ones in this room this evening at an audience this size. There's bound to be those of you in this room tonight, and you have strayed away from God. You have gone away from Him. And right now, at this present moment, you are in the far country. I don't know who you are. But you know who you are. I don't know who you are. But God knows who you are. And God has placed you in your chair tonight to be under the sound of His word, so that you might hear that God, the Father, is waiting to receive you back if you turn back to Him. In this story of the prodigal, wish I had time to read it all. I'd like for you to go back to your room tonight and read it. Luke 15, read the whole chapter. But in this story, we're told that this young man goes to this far country, and it says, verse 13, that not many days after he received all this from his father, he goes to the far country. And it says that he wasted his possessions with prodigal living, with wasteful living. He takes what was his. Oh, listen, when he had everything, when he had the money, and maybe he had the sweet-looking chariot, I don't know. Maybe he had all the fine clothes, and while he had it, oh, he had lots of friends. You know how it goes. When you no longer have those things, pretty soon, he had no friends. Could be that his friend, that he went to one of his friends and said, listen, I'm a little short. Could you help me out? I really don't have anything left. Can you give me something? You're on your own. He was empty. He was empty. Maybe tonight you've gone away from the Lord, young person, and you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with a certain sin in your life. For some of us, it might be that we've gone into that far country called the internet. Might be for some of us this evening, we've gone into that far country of a life away from God that maybe includes some things that it shouldn't include. Whatever that might be for you, you know. I don't know. I have no one in mind. It might be, husband, that you've gone into that far country and your marriage isn't right. And you've gone into that far country away from your wife. God wants to restore that tonight. He's so gracious. Could be, wife, that you're in that far country. Could be that you're at a distance from your husband. Could be, children, that you're in that far country and things aren't right with you and your parents. Maybe there's a hidden sin in your life that only you and God knows about. This man in that far country, this son in that far country, he was empty. He remembered back in my father's house. Oh, my father's servants have it so well. And the Bible says that this man was so in a place where he was such in need that he looked for a job, and the only job he could find, get this, the only job he could find was feeding swine, feeding pigs. And for a young Jewish boy, that would have been a horrible job. And there he is, and there's a hunger within him. And he was so hungry, and he just needed something. He was empty inside, and he was hungry inside. And he says, oh, I'm so hungry I could eat the pig's food. And he says, you know, back in my father's house, oh, if I could just go back. Well, I can't go back because that means I have to admit that I was wrong. That means I have to, but you know, if I go back, I could tell my father. And listen, he makes a plan and he gets this little speech ready and his heart is empty and he needs to go back to his father. And perhaps tonight you're here. You're in this room tonight, and your heart is empty. Maybe there's guilt because you've left away from God. But maybe there's a deep hunger that only God can fill. Someone has said that there's a God-shaped vacuum in every human heart that only God can fill. And maybe you've been trying to fill that vacuum, that empty space, with all sorts of things. But this young man, the Bible says, that he says, oh, well, here's what I'm going to do. I will arise, and I will go to my father, verse 18, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Oh, what an attitude. Yes, he's humbled, and he's down, and he's hungry, and he's empty inside. But he admits his need, and he says, I'm ready to repent. You know what repentance is? It's making that U-turn. It's agreeing with God's word that I'm not in the right place. I'm not going the right direction. And I need to turn around and go back to God. That's what repentance is. Are you ready tonight? You ready tonight to repent and come back to God? He's waiting for you. Listen to this story. I'll finish up quickly. Listen to, here's what he says. And he rose up and he came to his father. I love this. What a loving father. He comes to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father, listen, can you imagine how it is that the father sees him afar off? I would like to suggest to you that perhaps, every day the father would get up early and the father would look out the window. Maybe it's a big picture window. Maybe it was a porch. I don't know. But the father would go out and the father would look down the lane and the father would look and he would look. And then one day he sees that silhouette coming down toward him. And he says, could it be? Is he coming back? Is it him? Oh, and the father leaves everything. Maybe the father was like me. In the morning, I like a cup of coffee. And so maybe the father dropped the cup and ran down the lane. And the Bible says that when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what this really means? The father just doesn't run down the lane, fall on him, and go. That's not what the father does. This word means that he covered him with kisses. That he didn't stop kissing him. That his affection for his son just was poured out on his son. And listen, dear friend, my Bible tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his son for you. That if you believe in him, or maybe you already believe in him, but maybe you're away from him. But my Bible says that God is long-suffering, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all men come to repentance. He's waiting for you tonight to come back to him, and he will cover you with kisses. This is kisses of reconciliation. This is kisses of restoration. These are kisses that things can be right between you and God tonight. If only you come. Listen, how long are you going to waste your life away? Someone says there's only one life will soon be passed, and only what's God done for Christ will last. You're living your life right now. Young people, I want to challenge you tonight. You got one life. One life. How long have you been wasting it in a far country? How long? Most of you know, there was a young man. I coached him in basketball for 8 years. His name was Ken Bowen. Some of you knew him from Mountain View Bible Camp. Ken grew up over the years coming to our Bible study, and he was a saved young man. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. 22 years old. He had just been married for almost 2 months. And one night on a Thursday night, leaving work, going to his brother's house, he's on his motorcycle. And as we understand the story, a truck pulls out in front of him, backing up into the road. Ken hits the truck. We understand, going about only 45 miles an hour. When he got up that morning, he didn't know. But Ken had cranial damage in his head, bleeding in the brain. His eyes, they had asked me, we went to the emergency room, and Phil and myself and Jonathan, we go to the emergency room, and the father asked me to go in and asked me to pray with Ken. I'd never seen anything like it. 22 years old. Ken was a strong boy. His whole life ahead of him. Married this little girl, 19 years old. Sweet little thing. They had the whole life ahead of them. They sure weren't planning a funeral. We don't know. Life is so brief. Life at best is very brief. We don't know. Don't waste your life. I stood by Ken's bedside. I held his hand. His little wife was holding the other hand on the other side of the bed. And I prayed. And I prayed. And as I prayed, I just prayed, Ken, tonight you might see the Lord Jesus. And I said, Father, if it be your will, raise Ken up. But if not, take him home to be with yourself. Your will be done. And I said, Ken, God loves you. And we love you too. And Ken squeezed my hand. And on the other side, Ken squeezed his wife's hand. And his mother was sitting there. She told me the next day, or a couple days later at the funeral, she told me that she believes Ken heard what we said. But dear friend, what if that was you? See, I know that Ken was walking with the Lord. I know that Ken was witnessing for the Lord. Ken was living a life that he wasn't wasting away in a far country. But maybe tonight you're here. Maybe tonight you're here and you've been wasting your life away. Let's make our lives count. Why not begin tonight? We're going to close with a word of prayer. Can I just tell you this in closing? I said that several times already, so that means there's only 20 more minutes left. But let me just say this. The Father was so rejoicing that the Son came home that the Father said, kill the fatted calf. Bring out the best robe. Bring a ring. Put it on his finger. Bring shoes. And listen, every provision, I want to tell you this, every provision, I don't have the time to explain all that to you, but every provision has been made for you to enjoy everything that God has for you to enjoy in your Christian life. There's a new walk to be walked. There's new wealth to enjoy. There's a new robe of righteousness. You take off those old Adam clothes. You take off those dead man clothes. You be clothed in the righteousness of Christ tonight. Oh, dear friend, will you come? You don't have to wait till we're done singing this song. Just come down tonight. Come down here in the front. Be bold enough to give testimony to Jesus Christ. But if not, come see me afterwards. We'll be right down here. But we want to help you. If you've got some struggle in your life, we want to tell you that Jesus Christ can set you free. We want you to know what it is to have life. Brothers and sisters, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Will you do me a favor? As we sing this song, will you prayerfully sing? And you pray in your heart as you sing. You pray that if the Lord is speaking to anyone in this room tonight, that they will respond to the Spirit of God tonight. Let's sing. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou biddest me to come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
I love you. love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come tonight? If you're in that far country, whether you be a young person or older one or perhaps someone in between, will you come? Let's not waste our life. Let's turn our life over to Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never come to Him, come today. Come this moment. Come, just as you are, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this parable that we've looked at tonight. We thank you that you are indeed a loving Father. You are waiting for those to return. We thank you, Father, that you have sent your beloved Son to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you that even now the Spirit of God is working through the Word of God. And we would ask that as He is searching our hearts, even now, that there might be a response to your love, Father, to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the work of the Spirit of God. And we would just ask that there would be those in this room this evening that would come and have a new beginning. We thank you for your promise of the Word of God that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, that old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Father, bless your word tonight, and we would just ask it for your blessed name. Amen.